I'm the strawberry.
And I'm the biscuit.
And this is the Steven Universe podcast.
Sorry.
Welcome back, everyone. I'm Anna.
And I'm Swathi.
And this week we watched two episodes. We watched
Steven's Lion
and Arcade Mania for Steven Universe, and we'll break them down for you and all of our thoughts, and later on the episode we're going to do a couple spoilers. So,
we'll let you know when that is.
Yeah. So, Steven's Lion.
Oh, one of my favorite characters gets introduced, which is Lion, who has a very creative name. Fun fact, Rebecca Sugar has a cat named Lion, or had one when she was a kid. I don't remember.
Yeah, I think it's definitely named after her real-life cat.
Yeah.
And Lion is such a cat.
Yeah, he is. There's also, like, a shirt that they made where he's just trying to stuff himself into boxes. It's really cute.
Yeah, I saw that. It is adorable. But yeah, so getting into the episode, as the name might suggest, Steven meets a real-life lion. But he's out in the desert with the gems, going on a gem mission. And they have to find this gem that's been building these big, giant, yeah, like sandcastles, basically.
Yeah.
And kind of going berserk.
And it's desert glass, the gem that they're looking for.
Yeah.
And they find it, and it's kind of attached to this pillow, and Amethyst doesn't really bubble it. She's just like, she builds like a pillow fort.
Yeah.
And she goes to sleep under it.
Yeah, we haven't seen Amethyst bubble anything in it. She seems, she's a little less tied to the rules,
yeah,
generally, so yeah. She's not much of a protocol kind of gem. So yeah, she just wants to carry it around because she won it, and she likes to show it off as a prize, which upsets Pearl. But yeah, well, they're doing that.
So when you first watched it, did you think that the lion was a magical lion?
Oh, totally.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, because, so Steven meets a lion while he's waiting for them, and it's pink, and and he notes that it's pink, and it's not just a creative colored flourish,
yeah,
of the artist. It's like he's a pink lion, which is abnormal. And so, yeah, I totally thought he was magical in some way, but, I mean...
And he later in the episode, he roars at things, and they move.
Yeah.
It's kind of like a power roar.
Like sonic waves.
Yeah.
You can kind of blast things back or break through the sand.
Yeah.
So, there's something about him. Yeah. And also, he gets from the desert to the house.
Yeah, fast, that's which is, true.
You know, we don't know.
Maybe, like, yeah, like, we don't know how he did that.
Yeah.
Or how far it is. And
yeah. But I liked, again, all the little Steven touches that make a show fun is I really love that Steven is crawling through the desert, gasping for water and saying how hot it is. And he says he has to do it because that's how you act in a desert.
Which is, like, such, like, in cartoons and TV, that's what they do, so...
Yeah.
Obviously, Steven has to do it, too, you know? So, he meets the lion, and at first he's afraid of it.
Because they draw him to look sort of menacing.
Like, yeah, his eyes are glowing, he's silhouetted.
Yeah, and he just kind of appears.
And then he takes a nap.
Yeah.
It's just like, nap time. Just
plops.
Very much like my cat.
And Steven found a friend. I like that he immediately is like,
oh my god!
Like, you're my friend.
You're my best friend. You're my pet. You're my magical animal friend.
I guess we're doing this.
Yeah, and as soon as he said that, I was like, I've always wanted a familiar too.
Right?
I was hoping that, like, my cat would follow me everywhere and, like, perch on my shoulder and defend me against bad guys, but he just kind of naps most of the time. But
sort of gnaw on people sometimes.
Yeah, but it's always friendly. And, you know, he's not my familiar. He's everyone.
But yes, he kind of wants to play with the lion, but lion's not responding.
Yeah, and I think it's interesting, like, when you compare it to a lot of other media with familiars or, like, animal companions. The animal companion just kind of does everything the person says. And Lion doesn't do that. He kind of ignores what Steven's saying most of the time.
Yeah. He's a very mellow...
He's a very cat.
...partner to Steven's energy.
Yeah.
He's a cat.
He's a total cat. Like, you can train a dog, but, you know, a cat will do it if it feels like it.
Yeah, like he won't do tricks, but if Steven's like snuggling, he'll just wrap an arm around him. Yeah, like you're my snuggle partner now. Which, yeah, my cat does that.
Aww.
So
the lion follows him home,
mm-hmm.
and Steven tries to play with it, and it doesn't really work out. And he realizes that it's really interested in the desert gloss. And he sort of throws it at the lion, or he throws it outside, and it lands on the beach.
He's hurt. He thought he was his friend, and he now thinks he's been used. And so he throws the desert glass
onto the beach.
And but
chaos ensues.
Yeah, it's not supposed to touch sand, or else it rebuilds the whole magic sandcastle.
Yeah, so it starts doing that, and the gems are like, oh no, and Steven is kind of stuck inside, and... the lion comes to save them.
Yeah, and he hops on board, and the lion blasts his way through the sand pillars, and they get up there, and they grab the glass, or the desert glass, off the sand, and everything's fine.
Yeah, and the castle disappears, and the gems pop out of the sand, and they're like, are we really gonna let him keep it?
Yeah. I was like, why not?
We kept Amethyst, so.
Yeah, which I loved Pearl's reaction, because she's
such a mom.
I know, she's like a mom nerd, where she gets really, really, really tickled if someone makes a joke at Amethyst's expense, because they're so at odds. And because Amethyst is always making fun of Pearl, if someone gets one on Amethyst, she...
Oh my god.
She's so funny. Anyway, in this episode, too, we get to meet some of the pizzas.
Oh, yeah.
One of the families in
Kiki Beachside and Kofi.
Beach City. Kiki and Kofi work at the pizza place, which is a fish pizza place.
A fish to pizza.
Yeah. And they're pretty cool.
Like, and we see Ronaldo again.
Uh-huh. And he's working on Keep Beach City Weird.
Yeah.
Per usual.
Yeah, yeah. And Onion.
Right, Onion's hanging around. And we learn you don't want to disappoint Onion because...
because Onion is terrifying.
Yeah, Steven's talking about his magic lion friend, but the lion's gone, of course, when they come out, and Onion takes it personally. But there's a couple things that I really liked from this episode. Mm-hmm. And one of them was just... learning a little bit more about Steven's personality. There's a bit where when Steven is answering the door, it turns out to be Lion, he's grumbling about some kid coming around to sell him lava insurance. And it goes to like the core of Steven sometimes, where he's this kid who's like pretending he's an or he feels like he's an adult and he has responsibilities to take care of, but he does it in a kid way.
Yeah.
Like Tiger Millionaire. He's just like, I'm going to be a big businessman who makes the money, but I'm also a tiger. And so, who throws coconuts at people. So
yeah.
He kind of always acts like he's taking care of big grown-up responsibilities, but he does it in such a childlike way.
Yeah, it's good humor for, like, both adults and kids.
Yeah. And we learned that gems don't actually need sleep.
Yeah, Amethyst just likes to do it because she gets me.
Mm-hmm. Which, yeah, we kind of see that Amethyst likes to indulge in human things more than the other gems.
Yeah.
But yeah, we're kind of learning that they don't really have earthly needs like humans do.
Like sleep.
Uh-huh. I wanted to ask you about animation. The animation when Steven was riding Lion in the last attack, they're kind of lengthening things to show... the speed.
Yeah.
Make it look like they're going much faster than normal.
Yep. And they totally changed the colors. The colors were reduced to like primary colors, and it's really cool. And the music gets very video game like 8-bit.
Oh, duh.
Yeah.
Because it's like this little attack.
It's so cool. That little section where he's riding Lion and they're like trying to get to the desert glass. It's such a cool bit of animation, and
it's very impressive. Steven Universe will do this a lot, where they kick everything up a notch, the animation, the music, the action, when they want to show that characters are working really well in tandem.
Yeah.
Because they'll have kind of true. People, you know, the normal thing if Steven's sort of struggling to do something, or if the gems are doing like a normal battle where they're each kind of doing their own thing. But if any characters start working together really well, like all of the elements surrounding that kick into gear to show that everything's running really smoothly.
Yeah.
Which I really like to see.
Yeah, it is. And it's a big theme of the show too, we'll see.
It gives you that emotional response of just like, yeah, I'm so glad that everyone's on the same side and everyone's like really doing well in this fight.
Yeah. In sync.
Exactly, yeah. Everything syncs up really nicely.
Yeah. Which is such a contrast to when Lion isn't listening to anything Steven's saying and just kind of, like, doing what he wants.
Right, just kind of derpy. And it's mostly about Steven's reactions to Lion.
Yeah. And Steven trying so hard to play with Lion. Like, the way, like, a kid that isn't used to a pet would try to play with them. Like,
right.
Like throwing a ball for a cat or something, and the cat is just not having it. It's kind of the same thing.
And the kids are like, it's so easy. Why are you doing it? Yeah. But of course,
all I want is for you to play with me.
Right. But yeah, so Steven has a new Lion buddy.
Mm-hmm.
And it looks like he might be sticking around because Steven said so. Steven basically decided, you're my new friend. And,
which is, you know, how he adopts everyone.
Right, and Lion didn't go away, so.
Yeah.
That'll be fun to get into more. Lion has a lot of fun things coming.
Yeah,
so,
he's very interesting.
He is, and he's always, at his core, just very much a cat.
Yep.
which,
both of us have cats, so
yes.
We deeply relate.
And I wanted to bring in a new thing. I was mentioning that there's so many gems and stones and everything worked through these, and I kind of wanted to explore, I don't know if it'll always sync up, but explore like details about those stones in real life and mm-hmm. see if it influences the character at all. And so just a little bit of research onto Desert Glass, it talked about having highly protective and mystical energy, and there was a lot about it in kind of like that mystical gem or stone kind of way of, you know, you'd wear it as a pendant or things like that. And so I thought that was interesting, of just that magic element.
It's also the idea of like protection and defense. It was like building walls and
building more and more walls around it to keep the gems from getting to it.
Yeah.
So that's something. I'll try to get into more of the crystal gems next week, but and just to see what lines up or what the creators might have drawn from it.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
We're all just guessing here. That's what Steven Universe is all about, right? Just finding every little detail just and
all
seeing
the theories
if there's anything to it.
Yeah. So do you want to talk about Arcade Mania?
I would love to. I really like that episode.
Yeah.
It's a very Garnet episode. But we start again with another mission, and it's kind of the norm for a while here. Like we said, it's going to get into a lot more missions, and Steven is on that mission and squeaking.
He's wearing a puffy sweater.
Yeah.
And it kind of is making swish swish noises.
Yeah, apologize for those sirens. But yeah, so he's just kind of derping along, and this big sort of tentacly gem.
I'm gonna pause.
Yeah, let's pause for a second.
Just as it goes away.
Okay. Yeah, this big like octopus kind of gem monster comes out, and Garnet just takes care of business.
She's so fast, and Steven just admires her so openly.
Yeah.
Which is so beautiful, because you don't really see that much. Having someone just openly admire someone right in front of them. And be like, wow, you're so cool, and you're so fast, and
you're so impressive.
Yeah. Especially having, you know, the impressive character be a woman. And
she takes care. Like, I really like that animation.
Yeah,
and even
so fast.
Stepping up from the Lion animation
yeah.
is that it's so, like, it bends the world so much that it feels like you're moving at super speed through it.
Yeah.
And so that was really impressive.
So Garnet beats up this monster, but a few pieces of it kind of drill away. They're
little like starfish that turn into drills.
They turn into little cone-shaped things and they drill away, and Amethyst kind of tries to dive after them, but Garnet says, "Don't worry, if they make themselves a problem, they'll have to answer to me."
And you're like, oh.
And Garnet is so cool. And of course, Steven, being Steven, is like, oh my god, we're all gonna hang out and play video games at the arcade. So they go to the arcade.
And again, we get another moment of Steven kind of trying to pull them into human world, and they have no clue what to do or how it works. So he walks them all in the arcade and tries to sit them down at different machines and or different games, and they're so confused.
They each kind of have a different way of dealing with the games, and Pearl kind of sees it as, she says, it's so weird how humans find ways to waste their time.
Mm-hmm.
And Pearl is playing this car racing game or something, and it's basically the point of it is to crash as much as possible, but she's following all the rules.
Yeah, going very slowly, not crashing into anything, looking for a turn signal.
Yeah, and Amethyst tries to play skee ball, and it just is like cheating at it because she wants all the tickets.
Uh-huh. And Garnet
punches things.
Basically, yeah, Steven takes her game to game, and she just punches the machine, and
she keeps breaking games.
I win.
Yeah.
And so Steven takes her to a beat game, like a music beat game called Meat Beat Mania, thinking that since it's not an attack game, maybe she won't break the whole thing.
Yeah, and she turns out to be really good at it.
Yeah, it's kind of like a Dance Dance Revolution sort of game.
But yeah, plus like taiko drums.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And like I said last week, with Garnet animation being very, very to the point, like that there's not much
fluidity.
Right. She's very rigid in her movements. That this really comes into the dancing of her whole body is stock still, and her arms are moving to the beat, but they're moving in just the most rigid way possible.
Yeah.
And the rest of her doesn't even flinch, and it's a very Garnet kind of way.
Yeah.
Of movement.
Steven realizes that the man that runs the arcade is like
Mr. Smiley.
He's like, who's breaking all my games? And he bails. He's like, Amethyst, Pearl, like, come on. And is like, Garnet, come on. But Garnet doesn't really hear him.
Right. So they leave her behind and
run off.
We see a little bit of the next day where Garnet is not the de facto leader, but she kind of slips into that role more often.
Yeah.
Where the others are kind of waiting around and thinking, if there's something to do, Garnet will tell us.
Steven is really excited about fighting a foot.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, we're going to fight the foot. And they're all like, there's no foot. If there was a foot, Garnet would tell us.
Right.
And, but Garnet is weirdly, mysteriously missing from this conversation.
Yeah, and as Steven goes outside, we see all those drills pop up again. And more and more come until the skies are just full of these little starfish drill creatures attacking.
And Pearl and Amethyst aren't able to fight them. They're just too fast.
Yeah, so they go running off trying to find Garnet to help them fight these things.
And she's still playing Meat Beat Mania.
Yeah, you get the sense that she's been playing all night and basically gotten farther than anyone has ever gotten. And her hands are just
whirling around.
And Steven's trying to get her attention to go fight these drills, but she doesn't react.
She completely ignores him.
Yeah, she's so hyper-focused.
To the point where he knocks off her glasses, and there's a big reveal that she has a third eye, but uh-huh. She's still not paying attention to what he's saying to her.
No, he tries to turn off the game, and she uses, like, this electric shock to turn it back on. He tries to beat her at the game.
But he can't.
She's too fast. And so he loses cool, which you don't often see Steven do. And he
breaks the machine.
Destroys it.
Which Mr. Smiley catches him this time.
Right. And we continue the sort of Mr. Smiley Steven feud that was started in a while ago on when he broke the teacup ride. Mr. Smiley seems to own all the sort of arcade
style the boardwalk, the theme park and the
right. Arcade. So Steven broke that, and I think was banned.
Yeah,
and now he's breaking all the games and gets caught, and we have sort of this Mr. Smiley Steven feud that goes on, which is kind of unnerving because Mr. Smiley always smiles even when he's yelling.
That's true.
You're just kind of like, oh geez.
Have you seen My Hero Academia?
I haven't. Okay. It's been watched a lot in my house.
Oh, you have to.
I watched
so good.
About a season of it.
Quick,
which is really good.
Like, y'all should definitely watch that anime. It's really good. But there's a character called All Might, and he's always smiling.
Oh, man.
And it's just like that.
Yeah, I saw that. Just angry smiling is the worst.
It's totally unnerving.
Yeah. But, yeah, that we see as soon as the game is broken, Garn is off fighting and kicking ass, and Steven's stuck sweeping.
Yep.
But it's a cool thing. It's just another little kind of character piece where we see how each gem would react in the same, like, new situation. Of, you know, Pearl's just utterly miserable because this isn't anything that she knows or likes to do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, these games, like, the rules don't make sense. And, like, what's she supposed to, you know, how's she supposed to play it? And Amethyst, it's just, I want to just do the quick fix, and she loves the place. And
breaks the rules.
And Garnet gets just too intense about it.
Yeah, and I think it's interesting about her third eye, because a lot of the time Amethyst has one eye covered. So it's like she has one eye, and then Pearl has two, and then Garnet has three.
Yeah.
Or you could see it as Garnet has none, because most of the time she's wearing sunglasses.
That's right. Or she can just kind of pop on anytime she wants.
Yep.
Yeah.
Which, when I first watched the show, I thought that, you know, those were just her eyes. And I didn't realize it was, like, an article of clothing and that she, you know, had a third eye. It's so cool.
It is cool. And I liked the third one was hyper-focused on the game. To the point that it was, like, colored, like...
Yeah, it was changing colors. Yeah.
And once she snapped out of it, the third eye closed to talk to Steven, which was kind of... It's an interesting choice of noting when it's open and closed.
Yeah. It also reminds you that they're not, like... They're not human.
Right. Because they look, you know, distinctly different already.
Yeah.
But there are moments when you kind of realize, oh, no, these are different beings, especially when you have these sort of body morph moments.
Yeah.
That these are otherworldly kind of creatures.
Yeah.
So, we'll get a lot into that next week. But these are two really fun episodes of just kind of a taste of what's to come.
Yeah.
And I think that's all I have to say outside of spoilers.
Yeah. No, I mean, Meat Beat Mania sounds really gross.
Why do you have to do that?
I'm sorry.
Oh, no.
It's just, I think about that every time I watch this episode. Like,
I look at it with the innocence of a child.
Uh-huh,
how dare you?
Uh-huh. Gross. Yeah.
Anyway, for those of you that are watching through for the first time, thank you so much for sticking with us, and I hope you're enjoying it as much as we are. Next week, we start really kicking into gear with some of the bigger ideas, so come back then. You can also tweet at us at BerryBiscuitSU on Twitter. You can email us. Yeah, it's strawberryandbiscuit@gmail.com. You can find all these episodes on SoundCloud.
There's a new episode every Friday.
Yeah, every Friday, Strawberry and Biscuit. Tell us what you think of the show, things that you reacted to, any art you like, any things that you disagreed with us, or anything that we forgot to add. And, share with a friend, because it's
the show is best to watch with someone.
And again, thank you for watching with us. It's a lot of fun. So bye, all of you youngins, and welcome back, or welcome again
to spoiler territory.
Yay. Yes.
Okay. Let's get into I'm dying to get into Garnet stuff, but let's start with Lion.
Okay.
So Lion is pink, and that immediately ties to the rose quartz gem in my mind.
Yeah, was that your first reaction when you watched it?
It was later on where I was like, all these pink things relate to rose quartz. And I was like, what does Lion have to do with rose quartz? And why is he so attracted to Steven? Like, it must be about the gem. And, of course, he totally is. And not only that, like, his fur is like a portal to this, like, place. And, we don't get that until much later, but Lion is such a mystery.
Yeah, first time watching through, I think I didn't pick up on things as quickly as some other fans did.
Yeah.
And a lot of people really got it.
I mean, we had a lot of time in between episodes to be, like, obsessive.
That makes sense. I kind of just binged through all of them. And I also just... wasn't a lot of times when I watch a show, I don't try to figure out the next bit. I just kind of like to learn it as it comes. Mm-hmm. So in this one, I just figured he's a magical lion. Okay, that exists
now. And I mean, that's how it is, especially at the start of the show. We just kind of learn to accept anything magical as like, oh, this is a thing now. Like, Amethyst, when she changes her form, we're just like, oh yeah, they're magical. That's just a thing they can do.
And sure.
There's a magical lion who's pink. Like, we just accept it the way that Steven does.
Yeah, I didn't think much of Rose Quartz at that point, because they make mention that she's his mom and that she's gone now, and you have the portrait of her, but I kind of just assumed, I guess.
Have we seen the portrait at this point?
We at least have a picture of her.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
Yeah, and so I just very naively assumed that because she was gone, she wasn't going to be a big part of the plot, which is completely
which
wrong.
She's like, the entire plot is about what the hell was she doing.
Right. So at this point, I was not even thinking that.
And, you know, Pearl didn't even know that it was, the gems didn't know that it was Rose's lion.
Right.
And later on, Pearl gets very upset and she says, if Rose had a lion, I would know. But Garnet says, no, Rose kept a lot of things from us, and that's just the way she was. And so all of the mystery surrounding Rose Quartz is just very intriguing.
Yeah. And
moving on to
Garnet? Or
Garnet.
Other things?
No. Let's talk about Garnet.
There's a lot of Garnet in these
two. Future vision. Third eye.
Right.
Third eye already means, like, I've got my, like, you know, it's already a, You've heard of, like, having a third eye, mm-hmm. right? Like, people often say it about moms, that moms just kind of know things
right.
about their kids.
They always have a sense of what's going on.
Yeah, and so the third eye already is, like, symbolic of future vision, and her being able to play the game really well, I feel like, and being so fast when she fights is just about her already knowing what's going
to
happen.
Being able to anticipate.
Yeah, it's really foreshadowing that.
Yeah, these two episodes really focus on her speed and how she's so good at predicting things in order to, like,
manipulate.
Yeah, kind of be badass. And also it shows, again, once, just like before, Steven will stumble into something dangerous or will fall off something, and and Garnet's always there to catch him.
Yeah,
because
that's so
true. Know, she's always sensing if he's about to get into trouble.
Yeah, and so something really cool about, like, just metaphorically about her playing the game and using future vision to play the game,
mm-hmm.
is that, like, she's so focused on the future that she's not able to see what's happening in the present. And I think that's one of Garnet's flaws, is that a lot of the time she's like, just do it, just do something. And she's not present in the moment.
That makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
And they also make a mention of the future vision in the way, like, it's the smallest thing that you could miss, and Steven does miss, but it makes clear that the other gems know of her future vision.
Oh, yeah.
Because they kind of just reference that she's able to kind of predict things.
It's also interesting that they kind of keep it a secret from Steven, mm-hmm. like the same way that they keep it a secret that she's a fusion. I'm like, every time I say a spoiler, I'm like, oops, but then I'm allowed to right now. We're in a
safe zone.
Like,
it's a safe place here. Just say everything.
Okay, I'm trying.
Pink Diamond is me.
But what was I going to say?
I don't know.
Like her being a fusion, they just kind of keep it a secret. And Garnet tells him when she's ready. And I wonder if they had a discussion about that, about when she would tell him about future vision, just like they did about when she would tell him.
Must have, or maybe not directly about, like, I think the fusion one, they probably just know that that's a thing that you disclose when you want to. But I think what's really cool about the gems and with these kind of secrets and stuff is that they, you know, just going back onto how it relates to real world lessons, is that they always are careful about each other's privacy.
Yeah.
With like just telling that information to other people.
Yeah.
Because they're so bad at knowing when to say things and when not to say things. So they must have had this sort of decision of just like, I'll tell when I'm ready.
Yeah.
And everyone got on board, because outside of that, they always just sort of open their mouth and say stuff.
But also I think that a big part of it is just that, you know, Steven's 10 years old to them. That like must not be much. They're thousands of years old. So like they probably just haven't thought about it that much, because it's like, oh, now Steven exists, and slowly, like, things come up, and they tell him about it, and they explain things to him, because it might not even occur to them that he doesn't know.
Or that it's a big deal to know.
Yeah.
Like, the idea that Garnet has a third eye might seem just utterly normal to them.
Yeah, because she's a fusion, especially.
And you, like, they might look around and be like, oh, yeah, all humans that are around here have two eyes.
Yeah.
That would be different, but they probably don't take the time to notice if anything would be seen as new or strange to humans.
Fusions generally have, like, extra stuff, like extra arms or extra whatever it is. Mm-hmm. And so, especially because Sapphire has one eye and Ruby has two.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, it does. And so that's probably why it just feels really normal.
And plus, they've been living with Garnet for
thousands of years,
so it is very normal.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's
interesting Steven's reaction to it, which is nothing.
Yeah, it's more just,
it's kind of like, whoa, okay, but I'm trying to do something.
Right. It's more that he realizes that she's watching with the third eye mostly and not the other two, and that's why he can't distract her.
Yeah.
It's that like, oh man, I thought I got her, but she's got a trick up her sleeve.
Yeah.
And I, we'll see. I don't know if he kind of brings it up. I don't remember if he brings it up in the next episode or if it's just a new thing that he knows now. But we will get into, finally, Fusion next episode.
Oh, yeah, Giant Woman!
Yeah, next week we're going to watch Giant Woman and So Many Birthdays.
Oh, God.
Which are two pretty,
they're different.
Yeah, one is heavy with information and the other one's just kind of heavy. But
it's going to be like Catfingers and Fribo again. Oh, God.
We'll get Giant Woman, we'll get a song. And
oh, yeah, I love that song.
Yeah, that'll be a really good one for new listeners, because we'll kind of be able to take the muzzle off a little bit.
Yeah.
Once we get into some fusion stuff.
We can actually talk about fusion.
I know. It'll be fun.
Yeah.
So I can't wait for that.
Yeah, I'm pretty excited about Giant Woman. That's probably when I really got into this show.
Yeah, it kind of includes all the things that I really love about the show,
mm-hmm.
Which we'll get deep into it next week. But it gives a lot away. But if there's somebody who's not really into the early episodes of Steven Universe, that would probably be a good one to show them to really hook them on the show.
Yeah,
because it is
without giving away too much.
Right, it is sort of a little microcosm of all the things to come.
Yeah, it's also, in my opinion, out of the early episodes, one of the most sci-fi. Like,
yeah,
because there's sort of an explanation of it, which there wasn't any for any of the other magical stuff.
Yeah. So if you're trying to bring on a new friend, this might be a good place to start with them. But I don't think I have anything else about these two episodes.
Yeah.
They're just fun ones and fun starts to storylines that get really interesting.
Yeah.
So anyway.
Oh, how far we've come.
Yep.
So see you guys next week.
Yep. And
don't forget to tweet us and email us.
Yes, please. We would love to hear from anyone.
Yeah.
Because it's always fun to talk back and forth.
Yeah. Send us your reactions. We're super down to listen.
Yeah. Anyway, this was great.
Thank you so much for listening.
And thank you for jamming with us.
Bye.
Bye.